So basically the first step was actually just getting it on paper. That was kind of what made it, okay, this is not just like some idea, it's kind of now a goal.
Welcome back. Taryn and I got a chance to sit down and interview Tatum, the creator, founder, editor, and total entrepreneur behind This Is Magazine. We are so excited to interview Tatum and share this podcast episode with you. It was so magical just hearing how much of a boss woman she is, but really how intentional her purpose is behind her work, and how she is creating something completely authentic and different in the media world. Let's welcome Tatum. And
today we have with us Tatum. She is the creator and the mastermind behind This Is Magazine. We are so excited to have her with us.
Yeah, welcome Tatum. Would you like to introduce yourself and tell listeners who you are, what you do, and give us kind of a feel for what you're all about?
Oh goodness, where do I start? Okay, so obviously my name is Tatum. I live in the Seattle area up in Washington State. And I started This Is Magazine about 2 years ago now. 2 years ago is when the idea came to me, but the first issue published digitally, because it is a digital magazine as of now, January of 2018. So it's been in the public for about a year and a half, but it's been kind of my baby for 2 years. And the idea kind of came to me when I was driving to one of my friend's houses. And of course, that's when the best ideas come to me, because I can't write them down. And so it's really stressful because I have to try and remember it. But basically, I was just driving and I had this idea of creating a magazine that was all about real women by real women, because I was so tired of seeing all of the negative effects that the media kind of seems to have these days. I think it definitely is getting better. But you see Instagram and other social media as so much of a highlight reel, but we compare our real lives to it. And so we get stuck in this comparison game, and magazines for the longest time have been that same way, where you see models on the pages that you don't look like and that they don't even look like themselves because they've been photoshopped and just completely morphed into something that's not real. It's not attainable. And so I really wanted something that was real, no Photoshop, no celebrities, no bullshit. Sorry if I'm not allowed to cuss. It's kind of a tagline. So it was this idea of just being real, raw, authentic, going there. The magazine, there are definitely some curse words on the page, but it's not cursing just for the heck of it. It's really just because you're being expressive in all forms. And so that was the idea. And then the name, This Is, came because each section of the magazine finishes that sentence. So we have sections that are adulting, vulnerable, opinionated. So if you were to finish that sentence, it would be, this is adulting, this is vulnerable, this is opinionated, that type of thing. And so it has just kind of grown a lot in the past year and a half that it's been public. And all of the contributors are just real women that some of them I know, some of them I've never met. Some of them I'm chatting with right now. But that's kind of the gist of it. It is my side hustle right now. I do have a full-time job, but the goal is for it to become my full-time gig eventually. That's kind of the dream.
That's awesome. I love the fact that people can express themselves fully through your magazine, because I feel like even through social media or media in general, people have felt limited in a way. And so you said the idea came through when you were driving. You were driving to your friend's house and you just like, you had this. So what was the first kind of few steps that you took to make this happen?
Well, the very first step was walking into my girlfriend's house, not even saying hello, and being like, I need a pen and paper, because like I just could not let the ideas disappear. So basically the first step was actually just getting it on paper. That was kind of what made it, okay, this is not just like some idea, it's kind of now a goal, because I put pen to paper. It kind of held me accountable in a way, or at least that's how I work. And so after that, it was really figuring out the logistics of it. And so part of that was the actual figuring out like the design and getting that software. So I have the whole Adobe Creative Suite now. But then it was also like, who's going to write for it? And like, who's going to be my first group of contributors? Because if it wasn't public yet, like, how was I going to find people that wanted to write for something that didn't exist? So I definitely tapped all of my friends and family for that one. But the magazine, I forgot to mention, is specifically for women. And so, you know, I tapped half my group of friends and family because couldn't go to like my brothers, my dad, you know, all of that. But first, it was just a lot of like figuring out logistics behind the scenes and then kind of getting my group of people, my supporters, those initial adopters that were going to be there for me. And then it was like, you know, ironically enough, creating the social media for it before it actually existed. So that way I could kind of try and drum up interest and get people excited about it. But a lot of it was, I didn't do the whole, like, I didn't go into it thinking of it being a business. So I didn't actually get set up with like the proper business steps. Like, actually ended up doing that like a year into the magazine existing. So I didn't do the whole like, oh, set up my LLC, get a bank account, all those things until like a year in. So at first it was really just start creating it and figuring out who was going to be a part of it and how I was going to make it.
Yeah. Which is a lot, especially does your current job now or the current job that you had when you started the magazine, does it kind of relate to the magazine at all? Is it like a writer's job or does it have nothing to do with creating a magazine?
So yes and no. At the time, when I came up with the idea, I wasn't working. My husband is in the military and he was deployed at the time. And so I had just quit my job when we had to move out of state for a few months for him to do some training. Mm-hmm. And so when I got back after we were no longer in a separate state, I kind of took some time to travel and kind of explore my purpose in the world before I jumped into another job. Because fortunately I was able to like move in with family, so we didn't have any bills and my husband was still making money since he was deployed and everything. So I was fortunate enough to not have to work right away. And so I kind of had that exploration time. So that was when I started the magazine, but literally 2 months after I came up with this idea, I did get a full-time job again. And that job had literally nothing to do with, a magazine, with writing, with any of that. My job now, I've since switch jobs, kind of a trend, because you know what I really want to be doing is my magazine, so everything else just doesn't live up to my expectations, so I kind of hop around from job to job a little bit. It's a flaw. But now I'm in a marketing role, and so I do a lot more writing, and I've been learning a lot more about like the marketing side, which is actually what I had gone to college for. I have my degree in communications with a minor in marketing, so that's kind of my background more than I was ever using it my full-time job. But the whole magazine thing has been like ever since I was 10 years old. My dream job was to be editor-in-chief of a magazine. I thought it was going to be for somebody else's magazine, but because I live in Seattle, there aren't a lot of options to me, so I ended up just creating my own, I guess.
I'm just curious, are you currently doing like everything for the magazine, or do you have people that you've since hired on to help you?
So what's really cool, and I'm glad you're asking that, is I have my first intern right now for the summer, and she does go back to school in September, but she's already expressed interest in staying on as my intern in whatever capacity her school schedule will allow her to. And so I kind of have like a free employee, but that's been really cool and extremely helpful, because I do, other than the intern and then the contributors, obviously, who contribute their own articles and stories and everything, I do everything for it. So I do the social media, the graphics, the editing, the printing, like everything. Yeah, I really do it all. The only thing that I do kind of, like, I guess it counts as outsourcing, is even though I get all the print files and I get all that ready, obviously, I don't own a printer that prints magazines at magazine quality, so I do use like an external service for that. But yeah, I do like website and everything too. But having an intern has been extremely helpful, because she has taken on a lot of the stuff that's really time consuming, but also she provides this other perspective that helps a lot with editing, because I can get in this kind of like editing slump where I feel like all of the articles are so interesting, but after I've read them like four times through, I just become blind and I can't see any errors, or I like glance over it and I think that I've made it sound better, but then really I've made it a jumbled mess. So it's really nice having just a second set of eyes in general. So hopefully once, because we just started advertising too, so hopefully once we get kind of the financial backing to it, I'll be able to get more people to help, even if it's on like a like freelance type basis.
That's nice. I really like that you started it all on your own, because then you have an idea of how everything works. So you're totally empowered to do this by yourself, but then you're realizing, okay, well, I could use my time wisely with this, and I can outsource for something that, you know, maybe doesn't play a big role on like a final decision or anything like that would really impact the magazine.
Yeah, and I really appreciated it too, just because more and more as I've learned the business side of things, I keep hearing from these entrepreneurial experts that the first person that you should hire is to hire your weakness, because that way, obviously, you'll just get better as a team, and they'll make up where you lack type of thing. And if I hadn't started this whole thing doing everything by myself, I don't know that I would have known what my weakness was, because like I didn't know beforehand everything that went into making a magazine. And so I'm really appreciative that I started that way, even though it's been really difficult, it's been really rewarding at the same time.
And so I had another question for you. So I know everything has kind of been changing in your life throughout this whole process of creating the magazine. So did you have to change anything specific in your life to make this new project possible, or did starting this magazine change anything in your life? And if so, and in what way?
Yeah, so unfortunately, the thing that's probably changed the most for my husband is I just have to make time for things, and where my time has to come from is like my time with my family, aka him. And he is extremely supportive. And so like, I could not do this if he wasn't. And so I'm super appreciative and happy to have him in my life. It just is hard because I'm juggling, you know, a full-time job that I commute like an hour each way to, and then I have to fit in like magazine interviews after work or editing on the weekends. And so it's kind of just a time management thing that I've definitely had to learn. I always thought that I was good at time management. But then time management when you're juggling essentially two jobs and being married, that was something that I really had never had to do, because when, even though I've been with him for like what feels like a lifetime, when I was with him like in college and I had to time manage, all I had to do was school and then juggle my time with school and then him. This was the first time that I had to juggle job, husband. So I'm not very good at that. It's definitely been a process. And like I said, like he's been so supportive and he completely understands. And it's really cool to see him kind of support me in every way that he can. Like right now he is taking care of our dog downstairs so that my dog doesn't make this podcast completely like a mess and you can't hear anything. So, I mean, even just like the little things, my love language is acts of service. And so even something like that, I'm like, oh, you're serving me. I love you. Thank you so much. You love me.
That's great. Okay. So you might think this is funny because although you say that you struggle with time management, one of the best time management advices that have ever been given to me has come from you. Oh, God. So I think in one of our previous conversations we had before, it was kind of like a little while ago, I think we talked about time management, and you said something about how the way you manage your time is you book time into your calendar for yourself as if you had a meeting, like you prioritize it as if you had a meeting with someone. And I swear to you, ever since then, I'm like, no, this is my time. I am not moving. Like, I have booked this time for me, and it's changed my life. So look at that.
I do that, and that's so funny. I'm so glad that that helped you. And, like, it's definitely something that, like, I advise because it has helped me. But what's so funny is when I gave you that piece of advice, it was working for me as far as the magazine. But I realized what I wasn't scheduling time for was me and my husband. So it was like I had this schedule of like, okay, here's work, here are my appointments, here's magazine time, but nowhere in my schedule did I put like date night or like here's an hour of just like eating dinner with my husband. And so I've since started doing that where we have, I saw this thing on Pinterest that we have implemented where it's like this rule of twos that some, I don't know if it's real or if it was made up, but either way, it's helped us where basically like this husband and wife, I guess, started this rule on their wedding night where in order to keep the honeymoon phase alive, every 2 weeks they go on a date night, every 2 months they go away for a weekend, and every 2 years they go away for at least a week-long vacation. And ever since I saw that, we've been doing it, and it honestly, it works. And so those are definitely in my schedule, and it's definitely with that whole time management thing, but also with us actually getting to spend time together and me being able to juggle things a little bit better.
Okay, I can resonate with you so much. This is something I will now start implementing as well in my relationship.
Not me. I mean, I got the time management thing, but I'll just like replace your guys' situation with like my time with my kitty.
Oh, good. See you all in time.
Yeah,
totally works.
That's family too. Yeah. Okay, so I'm really curious, because I've read a bunch of your articles, and all the women that you have are amazing, and all the topics that they talk about are amazing, and it's all just really inspiring, but really unique and interesting stuff. So I'm curious to know, like, do you have a go-to favorite submission or story or, like, something that you're like, you know?
Well, that's hard because I think one of my favorites I can't really talk about because it was an anonymous one. So kind of part of the reason that it is my favorite would kind of make it no longer anonymous. So I can't really talk about that one. But kind of speaking to that, it's kind of been an evolution where every issue has had a theme. And from the beginning, it's been that way, but I wasn't very good at keeping the theme like focused, I guess, in the beginning. And so it's definitely gotten better in the sense of like how I'm managing the contributors so that all of the contributions really do revolve around that one theme. And so what I will say is up until probably this most recent issue, which was the self issue, I was really ironically self-deprecating about like each of the issues, not because of the content as far as the articles, but because like, I kept feeling like, oh, I could have done this better. Oh, I could have done this better. And then not until this most recent self-love issue was I like, I don't think I would want to change anything on that. And so I feel really proud. Like that's probably my favorite issue as a whole. I think just the ones in, again, I don't think a specific one had like a section, the vulnerable section always gets to me. Those ones, and that's one of the ones that like, that's where my favorite article comes from. So I'm kind of like trying to get like a little roundabout loophole about it. But the vulnerable section is definitely my favorite section because I think that all of the articles go there in the sense of we really talk about a lot of taboo topics that people don't generally talk about. But the vulnerable one like especially does because that's usually in the format of an open letter to your younger self, talking you through something that you're about to experience or that you will experience and basically giving you a pep talk, but being like, hey, this is what you're going to go through, but like, it's going to be okay. Or maybe it's not, but like, you're going to learn from it and that kind of thing. And it's just, it almost gets you into the head of the person that's writing it. Like you can like feel where they were and what they were thinking and all of their emotions and stuff. And so in general, I think that all of those articles tend to really get to me. And those are probably my favorites to read.
Yeah, I love it because even for the people that read it, even for the readers, if they can relate in some way, it's like it makes them not feel alone too. So it's like there's an extra power.
You have no idea how happy that makes me because that was like the purpose of creating this. Because my whole point in creating it, like when I was doing that kind of exploration and figuring out my purpose in this world, I kind of discovered that my purpose is to make sure that nobody feels alone. And so with the magazine, I was hoping that even if you aren't reading your story on the pages, you can still see yourself on the pages because you recognize a story where, hey, I've been there too, or I've thought that, or I've felt that. And so you know that you're not alone. And so I'm really glad that you said that. Maybe you just said that for my sake, but that's okay.
No. Oh, I think there's so much, like there's a lot of empowerment in being vulnerable. And I think mm-hmm. part of it is the connection that you can have with people. I love
yeah.
that.
Definitely.
And so you said there's a vulnerable section. Do you kind of want to walk our readers or our listeners through what are the different sections that they could see in your magazine?
Let's see if I can remember them all. It always starts with the real section because that section is most of the time the person who's on the cover. And so it's their story. It's basically any topic that they want to talk about, that they want to dig into. It's just kind of like the real girl of the issue type of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like their real story. So it starts there. And then there's vulnerable, adulting, opinionated, LOL worthy, good shit, newsworthy. Did I say adulting? I don't know if I said adulting. Oh gosh, it's gonna be difficult. there's like a yours section, which is supposed to be like product based, stuff that like you could buy for like clothes or your house or whatever. There's a party time section because basically I just kind of threw in all the sections of things that like I would want to read about or that I enjoy. And so I love throwing parties and planning parties. I love clothes. I love home decor. So I basically just created a magazine that I would want to read. And so that's how all the sections came about. Gosh, I'm failing miserably.
No, it's okay. Hey, if you can't think of anything, I mean, I know there's so many of them, but it's nice to just get an idea of the different sections. I think some that come to mind too is like, I think the inspiring section and the opinion there. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I know there's so many, but they're all so intriguing. All of them. I love the sections you created there. I feel like they all in its own self, like, tell a story, and it's easy to kind of like pinpoint like what you're looking at or what you want to read about. Like,
oh yeah, there's the world and how to also.
Okay, yeah.
Nice. Remember those.
Awesome. And can you kind of just for, I guess, visualization purposes for someone listening, can you tell us a little bit about, like, for example, the cover story of your most recent issue?
Yeah, so the most recent issue, the woman that was on the cover, her name is Becca Johnson. She is actually a plus size model. And so she got together with a local photographer up here in Seattle and then like makeup artist. And she actually also had like a local bathing suit cut, like swimsuit line, gave her a bathing suit to wear. But she basically did this like very goddess inspired photo shoot on a beach in a lot of like, and the beaches in Washington are not like beaches in Hawaii or in California. They're not super sandy. They're a lot more like driftwood and like rocky. And so it was very like girl in the wild, goddess like, but they did it at sunset. And so it was like the golden hour type, like, I don't know, it was gorgeous, but she was also suggestively nude in a lot of the photos where she just kind of had like a cloth draped over her. So there was no actual nudity. It was just kind of like embracing her body and who she is, because this issue was the self-love issue. And so her article was called Plus Size Self-Love. And it was all about her journey to loving herself, but also it tied in with the journey that she's had with the fluctuations she's gone through with her body, but also the modeling industry, because she's also a stylist. And so it was just kind of like her relationship with her body and clothes and modeling and the outside world and expectations and stuff. And she has a really healthy view of like body image in general. I think like one of my favorite quotes that she had said was something along the lines of, again, I'm going to cuss, but she said something along the lines of, I may go somewhere and be a size 10, and I may go somewhere else and be a size 14. I don't give a shit. Either way, I just want my ass to look good. And so, like, that's kind of her view, because I asked her, like, I think, at least I know this is true for me, I get really self-conscious about the number, whether it's number on the scale, the number on my jeans, whatever it may be. And so I think that her article was super inspiring, because it hasn't always been that way for her, because she compared herself to her sister growing up, because it was just the two of them that were females out of like a big household with a lot of brothers. And so her sister looked a lot more like her mom as far as her body type, whereas she looked a lot more like her dad's build. And so she always kind of compared her body and what she looked like to obviously the immediate women in her life. And so she hasn't always had that healthy view of body image. And so her article, really, we talked through that entire journey and how she got to where she is. And he has a lot of inspiring tidbits in there that really, honestly, like, I was inspired as I sat there and like talked to her through all of this. And we talked for almost like an hour and a half. Like, it just kind of kept going. So it's a really big article, but I kind of tell everybody, whether it's an interview or a story or that they're contributing, that they're really isn't a limit. It's just kind of like, take as long as you need to tell your story. And I've really loved that approach. I don't know that it gives contributors a lot of structure, so I don't know if it's difficult for them that way, but I really loved it because it allows people to not have as much pressure, I feel like, of like, oh no, I have to tell so much. I do that in 1,000 words or whatever. So that's a little bit of a tangent, but that's that.
And I'm also curious to hear, in your opinion, do you feel that this trend of magazines like yours and people starting to speak up about, women starting to speak up about all different topics, telling the truth, being vulnerable, opening up, do you think that that is something that will continue to grow? And do you think that, do you think our world is changing?
I hope so. I think it is. I think that it'll stay, because at least for the time being, I don't know that I would say that like it'll forever be a positive movement, in the sense of like, I don't know that we'll forever continue moving this direction. I mean, look at us now, we're back into like 90s clothing again. So it's like everything comes back around. So I'm just appreciating that right now it seems like we're heading in the direction of being very real and unfiltered. But I wouldn't be surprised if it went back the other direction, you know, however many years, 10 years down the road, who knows? But the thing that I'm just the most scared of is, regardless of how long this trend lasts, even if it's for the rest of my life that we're showing real women, my biggest fear is that we're saying we're showing real women, but we're not. And what I mean by that is, I have this friend who, her sister is a photographer, like fashion photographer and stuff in New York. And she was telling me that all of these places, and I'm not going to name names because, like, I don't need to get sued. You guys don't need to get sued. But a lot of these places who, that, like, as far as, like, companies go, that say, like, oh, we're untouched, unedited, unphotoshopped, like, all that, her sister has still done, like, touch-ups and stuff on those photos that she's taken for those companies. And so my biggest fear is that we're still saying that we're portraying real women, but we're not. And so I don't want there to be like that deceit. And so something that like I make sure that I do is like, when, for instance, this most recent cover, the photographer asked me, she's like, I know that you do no Photoshop and stuff. Does that mean like I can't edit lighting? Like I can't do that. I was like, you can do whatever you want to the photo around the woman. Don't touch her. Like, do not touch anything on her body. Don't touch her face. Don't touch her hair. I don't care. Like, sure, change the water. I don't care. I don't care if you change what the world looks like. Like, people can see that and know, you know, they're not comparing themselves to the color of the water. But I make that very clear with any of the photographers we work with. And I also, like, in our advertising guidelines, it calls out that if there are humans in an ad, that, like, they can't be Photoshopped. And so that may lose us ad dollars in the long run if we ever get ad dollars. But it's something that I'm like really passionate about, because I have a little sister. I hope to one day have children, and like, I don't want them growing up in this world where we're already comparing ourselves enough to people we see on Instagram and stuff. Like, I don't want us to be comparing ourselves to somebody that we think is real, but it's really just a lie. So I'm scared, but I'm hopeful. That was kind of pessimistic, but I'm really hopeful. I think we can do it.
Yeah, I think we can do it too. And I think it's, you know, it's like a reprogramming of like all the different aspects that make this almost more of like this, like this online, but also media world in general. Cause I think photographers especially, they're so, you know, they're so trained and they're so like programmed to Photoshop people. And in a way it could sometimes even be like offensive when you're not expecting it. I think so one day, Taryn and I, we went to take pictures with a photographer here on island, and we got the photos back, and I noticed that my eyes were edited a lot. But yeah,
why
the color to make it more blue? I guess like more popped up, but it didn't look like myself. Like I saw the picture, and I was like, there's something off about me. And then, you know, then you start questioning, like, oh, are my eyes, like, not good enough? Like, is there something wrong? Like, did something need to be edited? So when you said that, it made me think of that way, too. Like, I feel like when you edit someone, you're, like, editing someone.
Yeah. Well, and I think what's hard, too, is, like, sometimes it's not even, like, the actual editing. It's the angle of the photo. Because I don't know if you've ever taken a photo at one angle and then you like reposition yourself and you're like, oh my gosh, I look 15 pounds heavier. And like it a lot now, again, with the movement in the positive direction on Instagram, you'll see a lot of those fitness models being like, look, it's all about posing and flexing. Like, here's what I look like when I'm relaxed. Here's what I look like when I'm flexed and posing. Like, they're very different. They're both beautiful. That's what I want to see more of. And that's what I mean by I'm hopeful. Cause like those images do exist out there. Mm-hmm. It's just not yet the majority, you know?
Yeah. But I see that trend going. And I think your magazine is authentic because of that, because it's something so out of the, you know, are now ordinary. So I'm excited to see it growing in such a beautiful way with such a beautiful message. And at the same time, connecting with so many people along the way.
Mm-hmm. Hey. I'm excited too.
Okay, so this is kind of a fun question, but if you had to describe your contributors and readers in, let's say, like 1 to 3 words, how would you describe them?
Okay, beautiful, badass, and strong. I think the only one that I'm going to explain is the badass one, because I think they're so badass because the stories that they share, not only are they badass for having lived through them, they are so badass for sharing them and putting them out into the world, because that's something that even though we have talked about there being a vulnerable section, every section is in its essence vulnerable because somebody is putting something out there that is very personal. And whether they put their name on it or not, like, that is a very scary thing to do, to have your story be out in the world. And so for that, I think every single one of them, whether it's a funny story they shared or an emotional story, whatever it is, like, that makes them badass, no doubt in my mind.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That was like, you came up with that so quickly. That was great.
I honestly, you know, what's funny is I've never actually thought of that, but like, it was very easy to answer that question.
That's awesome. That means you really know the people that you're working with, and you're like, it feels like you're very connected to your work and to the mission behind it.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to get the chance to actually meet all of my contributors, because that's something that's been really cool, is a lot of them are, you know, all over the world now, but it's cool because I've gotten to know them, because it kind of, in this weird way, even though I may not know like their middle name, like I know very intimate parts of their lives and stories because of the things that they're sharing with me. And I think it's really cool because I'm one of those people who I really just like small talk. Mm-hmm. And so I like to have those real conversations. And so it's like with my contributors, we just completely skip the small talk portion of pleasantries and we just get right to the real stuff. And so it feels like I have a connection with each of them. And so I love it. And I feel like I know them, even though I've never met the majority of them.
And how many contributors would you say that you've worked with so far?
So So the list right now is like almost 70. Yeah, so basically how it works is once somebody contributes, they stay on my contributor list like forever unless they ask me to no longer be on it. So that way, if they contributed 3 issues ago and like none of the next 3 issues like resonated with them as far as the theme that we were going with, but then issue number 4 really resonates and they have a story they want to share, they won't miss out on that because they will stay on the contributor chain of emails, be able to see all those opportunities as they come up. And so I've had a lot of repeat contributors too. So yeah, it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, I feel like you'll reach 100 really soon. You're so close.
I mean, that'd be cool. And then it'd be really cool if like one day we could all do a meetup and like meet each other because I really want this to be a community. I want it to be more than just a magazine.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of times, we even talked about this before too, if you imagine like 70 people in a room, like that's a lot of people. Like sometimes seeing the number online or like in a computer, you know, it's like, right. Oh, that's 70, that's 70. But once you like try to picture them all in person, it's like, wow, like I've worked with all of these people. Mm.
Imagine like an office of 70 people. Like I work in an office, like my full-time job has 14 people, okay? Like, I work at a very small company, so, like, that's huge.
Yeah, that's huge. And I saw that this year you did a Disney magazine party. Like, you've been working more, like, with the community, too, like, the events and stuff. So, would you want to share with us what are, like, some of the next steps for Disney magazine in regards to not only the magazine, but also things that you plan on doing outside of the magazine?
Yeah, so, probably the soonest new thing, I guess, will be a print subscription that hopefully before the next issue, so it's quarterly, and so the next issue publishes October 1st, and so before that issue actually publishes, the plan is to have print subscriptions up and running, and so in the beginning, I will definitely be shipping them out myself, but that's okay, gotta start somewhere, because I'm one of those people who I prefer to have things in print, even like books, magazines, whatever it may be. I like to be able to like touch and feel things. And I know there are a lot of other people out there that are like that and people have told me that. And so that's kind of like the most immediate next step. I have a million ideas, but another thing is I actually was thinking about doing a podcast at some point of like, go figure, it would be called This Is a Podcast. But it would basically be interviews with the people that are in the magazine, just going in more depth because you can only tell so much of a story on like 5 pages of a magazine that like hopefully, whether it's half an hour, hour worth of a podcast, it would just kind of go a little bit deeper. But I was talking to somebody recently about doing that and then they gave me a really good idea, which was to actually do like an audiobook version of each issue. So that way, because the issues are quarterly, so they get pretty hefty. Like the last one was over 100 pages. And so not everybody has all the time to just sit down and read 100 pages of a magazine, even though they may want to. And so what people do have is a lot of commuting time in their cars. And so somebody was saying that they would love to like be able to quote unquote read the magazine, but they don't always have the time to do it for each issue. And so they'd love to have like an audiobook version of it. And so those are kind of like longer term goals because I would have to find somebody to read the magazine because I don't like my voice and I do not want my voice to be reading every issue. So we'll see about that. But I thought it was a really good idea, especially just being able to be on all the different formats, especially with the way of the world, you know, like you can't, like nothing, everything's so saturated, you can't really reach people in too many places. You kind of have to be everywhere these days to be seen.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with us and for doing what you're doing. You're inspiring to me and so many other people. And yeah, do you have any closing thoughts or comments that you'd like to share with us?
Thank you guys so much. Like, I just really appreciate this. And this is kind of like, this is where I get a lot of my energy from, is from people like you. It's not just like the words of affirmation that you give. It's just kind of like seeing you guys like light up when we're talking about these things and you having like shared mindsets and stuff just really keeps me going, because it just excites me that like I have something or I'm doing something that is meaningful. So thank you guys. And for all of your listeners, if anybody wants to contribute, any story is always welcome. And it can be anonymous. It can be, you can have your name on it. You can have photos. You cannot have photos, whatever it may be. Feel free to reach out, because even though we have almost 70 contributors, we always want more, because you can never share too many stories.
Yes. Thank you so much, Tatum. And for all the listeners too, we'll tag all of Tatum's social media pages for This Is Magazine and the link where you can see all the virtual online versions of it. And you can even click and order your own print version of it, like we have sitting with us right now. We'll attach that all in the link below our podcast.
We hope you guys enjoyed tuning into this episode. This was such a fun episode to record. And again, if you're interested in checking out This Is Magazine, you can check out her links below on our podcast episode. She is always looking for contributors. So if you have a story you want to share, if you have something you are creating and you want to share with other women, please, please, please feel free to reach out to her. She would love to hear from you. This magazine is such a healing and beautiful space for women to connect and share their personal stories. So thank you so much again for tuning into this episode. Thank you, Tatum, for being part of this podcast. And we'll see you guys next time.